Welcome to the Word Podcast. The Lord God has given us His Word. Let us learn it. Let us live it. Let us rejoice in it. Spread the Word.
Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. And I truly mean that. I do thank you for joining with me. As always, continue to pass word about these times together with one another, with everybody you encounter, particularly those that are interested in the things of the kingdom of God. Okay, you may have a Bible study or Sunday school class or a choir that you're in or a fellowship that you're in, your family. You know, tell them about this time and just, you know, explain what the deal is. You know, it's less than 10 minutes, real easy to access, and you can listen to it and sort of just join with us in the journey. Also, if you want to support these times, go to my webpage, and on the front page right there, you can find a place to do that, okay? It's just dalemoore.tv. So we're in Hebrews 10, quite a bit of stuff in this. And, of course, if you've been with us, you know what the format is. We are just basically hitting the high points, but we're getting the flow of what is happening. So here we are, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14. For by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. So that he is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by offering himself, he has brought to completion, to fruition, that which was required. Now, verse 15. And the Holy Spirit also testifies to us. For after saying, then verse 16 and 17 is a quote from the Old Testament. After saying, this is the covenant that I will make with them. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws upon their hearts and on their minds, and I will write them. He then says, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now, where there is forgiveness of these things, there is no longer any offering for sin. So what he's doing, the Spirit's leading the author to write, and he said, yeah, remember what the Lord said back in the prophets? He said, I'm going to make a covenant with you. This is the covenant I'm going to make with you after some things, some days, says the Lord, that I'm going to put my law up on their hearts and on their mind, that I will write my law. And he says a lot of other things that he's actually mentioned here in Hebrews, a new heart and things like that. But then he also says, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. So he said in verse 18, that where there is forgiveness of these things, there's no longer any offering of sin. So what is he saying? Remember what's happening with this group that he's writing to, and to us in a different kind of way, but the same basic principle. They were being tempted to go back. Okay, they were being tempted to go back and depend upon something other than the Lord Jesus Christ, or, as is often the case today, they were being tempted to add something to the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, the works and the deeds that the Lord has done, they were readily saying, yes, yes, we believe, and we believe it'll be really, really extra good if we add the law to it, that type of thing, you know. And he's saying, no. He said, where there's forgiveness, there's no longer any offering for sin. You're forgiven because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did, not because of the offerings of sin. Now, verse 19, chapter 10. And verses 19, 20, 21, and 22 are all one sentence, and they're absolutely profound. He's bringing a lot of things to point here. It says this in verse 19. Therefore, there you go. In light of all this, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. He's bringing so many thoughts together that we've been looking at in Hebrews. He says, therefore, brethren, since we have, and there's these since we have that we'll look at in just a second, but what does he want them to do? Well, he tells them three verses later. He said, brethren, let us draw near. Let us draw near where? He uses that phrase, draw near, two or three times in the book that we've seen so far. Well, draw near to God. Draw near to the Father. Draw near to the Son. Let us draw near. How? With a sincere heart. Okay? With a sincere heart. With full assurance. That idea behind sincere is just a true heart, not a false one. With a sincere, true heart in full assurance of faith. That's sort of a wild thought, isn't it? Because faith, by definition, you know, is believing. It's believing that which you haven't quite seen yet, but you have faith in it and you believe it. So he's saying what? Hey, come on, draw near with full assurance, okay? Full assurance of faith. That's full conviction of faith. How do we do that? Having our heart sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our body washed with pure water. The law could never do that, okay? The law could never do that. So that's the thing that is encouraging to do that. He said, let us draw near, okay? Draw near to the Lord. But that little sense we, okay? Therefore, brethren, again, he calls them brethren, verse 19, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. Folks, we have confidence to enter into the holy presence of God and to live in that. And we do that by the blood of Jesus. And he declares what it is. It's a new and living way. Okay? New and living way. A little contrast there with the old and dead law, okay? Which he, Jesus, inaugurated for us through the veil. And then he tells us what that means. That is his flesh. So you see the vividness of the ideas that are being thrown out right here. The fact that Jesus died, the fact that his flesh was torn, is literally a picture of what happened in the tabernacle in the temple. How the priest would go, and he dealt with this earlier in the chapter, how the priest would go behind the veil once a year into the Holy of Holies. And he only did that once a year by blood. That now Jesus was literally the veil, and that his flesh is literally the veil that was torn for us, to where we now can enter into God's presence by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, not just one time a year, but enter into it and live there and dwell there. He says, so since we have this way inaugurated for us, a new living way, verse 21, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near. Who's the great priest over the house of God? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ. We've already seen that in previous portions of the book of Hebrews. Remember that Jesus is better, and he is the great, most high priest. And because he is the high priest over the house of Israel, we have confidence. And he's really exhorting them. Remember that was his point in writing this letter, to exhort them. And he says, you have confidence because of what the Lord did for us and did for you and who we are in him. So therefore, do this. Realize your hearts are sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. The law can never do that. Realize that your bodies have been washed with pure water. So you just can't sit there and say, well, my conscience is clean, but my body's not important because I can't control that. So I'll live and do whatever I want to my body, though my conscience is clean. That's the early form of Gnosticism, okay? That kind of concept. He says, no, no, no. Your evil conscience has been sprinkled by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and is clean, and your bodies have been washed with pure water, the word and the proclamation of the Lord. Live that way. He follows up with that, but we'll have to look at that the next time, okay? Again, I'm Dale. Thank you again so much for being with me, and I'll see you in the next episode.